America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the BC. It is Saturday, the 9th of July, Anno Domini 2016. And you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And did you forget who you were?
Yeah,
no, I'm still...
Identity crisis.
This webpage is not available.
It's YouTube. Of course it's available.
Right.
Not for you.
Not for me.
Not for me. It's 5 minutes after the hour, and we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues, here comes the news. A new piece of nasty malware targeting Mac systems has been discovered in the wild, allowing attackers to hijack users' computers. Dubbed backdoor.mac.eleanor by security researchers at antivirus vendor Bitdefender. That was apparently
that
not
again.
That easy to say. Antivirus vendor Bitdefender. The malware installed a backdoor that allowed attackers full access to Mac systems, including users' data and control of their webcam. The malware installs itself under the guise of EasyDocConverter.app, a fake file converter application available for download from reputable sites for Mac software. Suddenly a little less reputable, as somebody said in the forums. The rogue application installs a component that allows attackers to remotely and anonymously access the infected system's control and command center. Another component allows attackers to view, edit, rename, delete, upload, download, and archive files. They can also execute commands and scripts. The malware uses a tool called Wakaw, to capture images and videos from built-in webcams. However, the app is not digitally signed by an Apple-approved certificate, meaning Macs with Apple's Gatekeeper security package enabled will be protected. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Mac malware installs backdoors. And your choices are, that can't be right, I'll be careful, I'm protected, and you Mac people are funny. So far, of course, you Mac people are funny has 82% of the vote. 22 of you have voted so far, but I know that many more of you will have something to say about this, and you can do that easily. Scroll down on the right till you come to Fascinating Stuff. Click on the forums. The second forum set down is the poll discussion. And so far, at least, the very first thing on the poll discussion is 9 July 16, Mac malware installs backdoors. And, it was Christian who said not so reputable anymore. So join us there. And, of course, if you want to talk about this more, you can certainly give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
Do you remember the days when Mac could sit there and tell, well, we don't get viruses. We don't get spyware.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen on a Mac.
Yeah, they were smug about that. They were wrong, but they were smug.
Yeah. It was just a matter of time. That's all it was.
Right.
It was just a matter of time and everything else, and especially now with the iPhones and everything else. I mean, for the most part, we've said this before, Steve doesn't talk about half the amount of systems that he used to 10 years ago. It just seemed like every month this system was coming out, this notebook or this or that. They've really slowed down, as they have on the PC side.
Right.
I mean, they're talking tablets now and everything else. It always was the next big AMD processor or this or that was coming out. And, you know, it's always, oh, we got to get the bigger, better, faster. No, it's tablets, Chromebooks.
And the next processor isn't that much bigger, better, faster anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. You know, as it becomes, you know, it used to be, again, we said this about Macs for years, but it's true everywhere in the industry. It used to be revolutionary stuff.
Yep.
Now it's just evolutionary.
Yeah,
it's get excited when there's a brand new operating system I've never seen before. I can't get excited when the next chip is 4% faster.
Yeah.
Or saves 5% of battery life, which
right.
seems to be where they're concentrating these days.
Well, it's far, yeah.
Because they're all going into mobile devices now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
But yeah, so it absolutely is has become fairly much ho-hum. And of course, companies like Apple, that's a real problem for them.
Yeah.
You know, the last really innovative thing we had was Chromebooks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's a whole new thing, a whole new kind of operating system, a whole new way of doing stuff, inexpensive, but does everything you 90% of you need to do, blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah. But again, that even that wasn't
earth-shattering.
Earth-shattering.
Yeah.
It was just, it's a browser in a box.
Yeah.
And now you're done.
Back when Apple products were very niche, it didn't make monetary sense for the bad guys to try to break into them.
Right.
You know, the bad guy's not going to break into a house with a dog barking and a big security sign logo. They're going to break into the next house with the door hanging open.
Right.
So it was just so much easier to make threats for Windows. Nowadays, we succeeded in becoming a mainstream product, and now there's the downside of that. We're a target for attack.
Right.
Yep.
And the whole risk of threats have changed. Viruses as a concept are kind of pretty much on the downturn for the last several years, and it's all now malicious software on websites because everyone uses the web. It's so much easier to get a program on the web. And in fact, the latest threat these days are fake virus warnings.
Right.
So the bad guys don't even bother to write a virus because it's easier just to write a page that says you have a virus.
Yeah.
They don't even have to. In fact, that was one of the jokes in the home security industry. One of the most popular home security systems was the Realistic home security system sold by Radio Shack.
Yep.
It was a sticker that said protected by Realistic home security system. And you put that in your window.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that worked because then the bad guy went to the next house that didn't have that.
Right.
I was going through a lot of my photos earlier this week and I saw one that I sent on to Steve, and it was an old one when I was down in Pennsylvania on a motorcycle trip. And it was one of those little Macs that was all in one, you know, the little screen on
it. Oh, yeah,
you
know, yeah.
And I sent it to Steve because they were using it finally for a good purpose as a doorstop to hold the door
nice.
Open. I saw that picture and I started laughing. I think, yeah, I remember taking that and sending it to Steve saying, here's a good use for a Mac.
Yep.
There was a funny little story just the other day. Some guy bought a Mac SE at a garage. Actually, he was given it from the garage sale because the guy didn't think it worked, and he did something that made it work, some electrical.
Replaced the battery.
Probably. Well, it was an SE, so plugged in.
Well, but there's a CMOS battery.
Right. There's a CMOS battery.
CMOS battery's dead, it won't move.
So he plugs this in, and he's looking around. He found the guy's floor plan for his house.
Mm-hmm.
Which he had done in Mac Paint, which must have taken, forever. And then he finds the AOL folder.
Oh,
and he thinks, wow, AOL. So he opens it up. The only thing that's in it is another folder called Mac Playmate.
Yep.
Yep. And Mac Playmate was a porn app.
Yeah.
In glorious one-bit graphics.
In glorious one-bit graphics. Black and white, or sort of black and gray, black and bluish. Mm. One-bit graphics. And, of course, he'd never seen anything like it before. So he was kind of shocked and amazed and everything else. And I'm looking and thinking, yeah, we knew all about this back in the day.
In fact, there were a couple of Macworld expos.
Mac Playmate.
Yeah, and that's what she said.
I wish I had that sound bite.
Well, somebody has posted a YouTube video of it, so you can probably
I can pull the audio out. Excellent.
So back in the day, Macworld Expo, where you know all the Mac people went and the Mac developers were there. There was a big mess. One year, I remember that I was there back in the late 80s.
Yep.
That the police showed up, the Vice Squad, because the company that made this Mac Playmate was there exhibiting it, and so some concerned parent called the police. The police showed up, and they determined there were no laws being broken, which upset the concerned parent. So they agreed that the booth could stay as long as they turned the computers to face inward and not let any minors into the booth.
Hmm. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
It really
does. Yep.
And it was all so
because it is pretty filthy.
Yeah, but it was all animated.
So,
it reminds me today of the controversy over anime. you know, Japanese animation.
Right.
And how risque a lot of the anime can be. But it's animated. It's not, you know, it's not even photorealistic animation. It's obvious animation.
Right.
And there's still a lot of controversy over it.
Right. But don't forget, nobody'd seen anything quite like this on a computer before.
On a computer. Yeah, you had to sneak your dad's Playboys before.
Right. Now you had to
sneak and they were in color.
Playmate. Right. Right. All right, we should probably go to the phone because Joanne has been waiting patiently from Greece, New York. Hello, Joanne. What's up?
I have a question about a Mac.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
No, you can't buy Mac Playmate anymore.
Well, I just changed in January, so I wouldn't have to go to Windows 10.
There you go.
And I did survive it. Change. But now I want to start doing photo editing on the Mac, and I don't know if there is. I'm just beginning to investigate. Is there a program in Mac for the photo editing? Because I used to always use Picasso.
Yes, in the Macintosh, it comes with a program called iPhoto. It depends on when you got it and what OS it has. There used to be one called iPhoto. The newest one is Photos. You say you just switched in January?
Yes.
So you probably have the new Photos app. It's the icon looks like a bunch of flower petals.
Yes, I see it there.
And so that's the program to manage your photos. So that lets you bring them in from your camera, from your cell phone, and lets you create albums and slideshows and things. But there's also an edit button so that you can edit the photo, and you can do what we call darkroom editing. You can do the highlights and brightness and contrast. There's red eye reduction and things that you would typically have done in a dark room.
Okay.
Cropping.
Yeah. So the 99% of the things that people want.
Okay.
If you want to get more sophisticated than that, which is sometimes what we call put someone's head on someone else's body.
No.
then you would move up to something like the commercial Photoshop Elements, which is $100. Or there's a bunch of shareware programs in the $30 to $50 range. That all are escaping me right at the moment. Acorn Graphic Converter. But for what you want to do, the Photos app that comes in the Mac can do all of that.
And certainly that's the one to explore first since you've already got it and it's free.
Exactly. Okay. I just didn't know if I should explore something else or find out how to use this.
No, try using that first.
Okay. I shall do that.
There you go.
So when I download them from my camera, they're not going to make duplicates places, are they?
Well, it will tell you there are already imported if you try to import them again.
Okay.
And warn you that they're already imported and you probably don't want to do that.
But that's your choice. If you do want to do that, you can say do it anyway.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when you make your edit, you're changing the photo, but there's always a revert to original command.
Okay.
Some people want to duplicate it, and then they can do two different edits on the photo. So there's also a duplicate command if you want to make a duplicate to do other changes to.
Okay. All right. I think I will explore that all then.
There you go.
Thank you. Very easy. Thank you.
Sure. Yep, and don't forget, once you've got them on your computer, back them up somewhere else as well.
Yeah, the Mac comes with a backup program called Time Machine.
Yeah.
You just plug in an external hard drive, and it can make a second copy of everything on that other drive.
Do you have to tell it to back it up, or does it automatically back it up?
The very first time, you have to tell it to use that drive.
Okay.
And then after that, it does it automatically.
Okay. I think I do. I know I have that. I just have to check it then.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much.
There you go. Have fun.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. I love to hear people exploring new operating systems, new stuff like that. That's always the fun thing. The big thing people forget about with photos is they have to be backed up because computers die.
Right.
Yeah.
We used to have boxes of negatives or slides, and if you lost one, you could make it from the other one. But now the only copy is that one on your camera. So when you bring it into your computer, a lot of people will then delete it from the camera to make room for new pictures, and now you've only got one copy. So you really have to make a backup copy.
Right.
I do know a lot of people that just buy a new memory card.
Right.
And so you never have to delete the photos from your old memory card because you just get a new one.
That's one form of backup.
Yep.
And particularly what really kills, there's two things that kill memory cards. One is x-rays. So don't put it in your mouth while you're getting your teeth done. And
you think?
Or in your shirt pocket when you're getting an x-ray. But the other is constant use. Sadly, using a thumb drive, a flash drive, gives it some, or rather causes it to get weaker, and mostly in writing. So if you write once and read forever, it's not going to be a problem. So that's perfect for backups.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, and you. 19 minutes after the hour, Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Before we go any farther, let us not forget, tomorrow is Nikola Tesla's 160th birthday. The man who invented the 20th century.
And Google better make a doodle.
Google better make a doodle. That's all I have to say.
Have they ever not?
Yeah, they have not, in fact.
Oh, really?
But among the things that Tesla invented were the three-phase electric power, the induction motor, vacuum variable capacitors, alternating current, the neon lamp, the Tesla coil, of course, remote control, the AND gate, and a little thing we like to call radio. So if you get a moment, take a look at the list of his patents. There's a Wikipedia article among, and there's a lot of junk people say about him, but a lot of the things that he did were pretty amazing, and you should know something about the man before you miss his birthday entirely. All right, let's go back to the phones. Our next caller is Mike from Gates, New York. Hi, Mike. What's up?
Oh, good. I just got a couple of questions. On one, I got a motherboard I want to replace. It's about 5 years old. Excuse me. And I was wondering if I can use the same process in that. It's the Intel Processor 5.
You'll have to check with the specs on that motherboard.
Yeah, it depends. One, what type of, is it a brand name or is this a generic type of case?
No, well, it's not a brand name case. I'm trying to think of the name of the motherboard, but.
Well, it doesn't matter. Steve is right. Whatever new motherboard you get,
right,
check the specs. It may take that particular processor, but you want to make sure it takes that processor at that speed.
But here's
at that voltage.
Yeah, but here's the other big factor that a lot of folks forget. All right, yes, you can get the same type of motherboard chip-wise and everything else, but it also has to come with the faceplate for the back of the computer.
Right.
Because sometimes the way they change the design from one motherboard to the other, there's a back faceplate where you plug in your video and your sound and everything else. Those
right.
change, and if you don't get the back faceplate with it, that whole back end is open.
Yeah, right. I understand that.
Right. But in terms of the processor itself, the only way you'll know is if you check the motherboard.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
And one other question. On the Windows 10.
Yeah.
Is there any way to get rid of some of the stuff they have put on?
Like what?
Oh, just some of the things they have put on, and I wanted to find out if there's any way to get them off.
Well, some of them you can just uninstall.
Some
you cannot.
Some of them, but
right. Some of them you simply cannot.
Oh, okay. And there isn't any way to get in to have a tech do that.
No, not really.
Oh, okay. But, well, the whole thing is, I only can afford so much, and if they keep on adding things, and, I can't afford a Mercedes-Benz, but.
You don't have to buy the things that they're adding in. I mean, the whole reason they add them in is because they get a kickback from the company. But when the company says, buy this, you can say no.
Yeah, okay.
You don't have to buy any of that stuff. I mean, you absolutely want to have an antivirus program, but there are lots of free ones.
Yeah, well, I got all the antivirus programs that I need and stuff.
Right. So when those things come up and say, you know, what do you want to do here? You say, no, just I don't want to do that. I don't want to have anything to do with it.
Oh, okay. Because I get, when I'm using Windows 10, I get a lot of junk stuff on it from...
Yeah, that's the problem with a lot of computers these days. They come with a lot of bloatware.
Which is one of the advantages of building your own computers, and you just install a fresh Windows and don't have to have that extra stuff in it.
Yeah, okay.
Or Linux. And
Then
you spend about 3 weeks saying, oh, yeah, I need this.
Yeah.
Well, I just recently bought a Chromebook, so I'm...
Good for you.
I got to get... Well, it's a cheaper model. I'm trying to just get used to it.
Yep. What do you think so far?
Oh, very good.
Good.
Yeah. I'm thinking about now just switching all together from Windows into the Chromebook.
Many people do. For most people, a Chromebook does everything they need.
Right.
You know, and as long as you're one of those people, save your money.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm a young 80-year-old man.
Good for you.
So I just... don't want to get into a whole lot of things I don't need on the computer.
There you go. Good for you.
Okay, thank you very much for your time and all the years that you've given the information to us.
Well, it's our pleasure. Thank you.
All right, bye now.
Have fun, Mike. And I should have told Mike, don't forget, the first Thursday of every month, so we really just missed it. The Rochester Googles group meets at... St. John's Meadows in Briarwood. So, in the Briarwood building at St. John Meadows. So, you can join us there and we talk about all things Google, mostly a lot about Chromebooks, a lot about Android operating system and the Android phone stuff and the cool things you can do in Google and all of that stuff. So, and on Google Drive and things. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from... Oh, there's what I did. Our next caller is Steve from Greece, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's up?
Hey, Nick. How you doing? We're that family that always comes to your live events, you know, since our kids were little.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so anyway, we just came back from a big recycling event at Pittsford Mendon High. If anybody wants to drop off electronics, they're taking all kinds of stuff, and the TVs are free. So we just wanted to pass that along.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
If
you've got something...
I think it's till 2 o'clock.
Okay, excellent. Thanks.
Okay, we'll see you later.
Yep, have fun. That's a real nice thing to do because here's the deal. Generally speaking, electronic equipment can't just be thrown out. There's a lot of toxic material in it. And, of course, there's some gold in many machines and stuff like that.
Solder and everything else.
Right. So the best thing to do is to drop it off to a recycling place. Many places double dip. They charge you to recycle it, and then they extract the precious metals and sell those.
Yeah.
But they're not making a fortune. It's not like buying a mine in Arizona.
They're not making millions
right.
on this, folks.
You're getting, milligrams out of every computer. But... a number of places have free recycling events every once in a while. So a lot of us save up our stuff and then just drop it off there.
And that's often a fundraiser for that organization. So, so whatever money is recouped from these recycled computers, the high school is going to get some and the recycling company is going to get some.
Right. So that's a real nice thing to do. And Pittsford Mendon's obviously having one today.
And many towns have their own electronics recycling program. Check with your town or your garbage company. They often will have their own recycling service as well.
I have it all the time. All I do is put it out to the curb on in front of my house.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone.
In a couple hours. I
put out a whole vacuum cleaner. This thing was, it was busted. I needed a new one, so I got one. I put out the old one. I swear to God, if it lasted 15 minutes out there, it was gone. I turn around, I go in, I did a couple things, and I come back out because I was going to do some more weeding there. I look, it's gone. It hadn't been 15 minutes.
Somebody will buy it, fix it, and sell it.
We had an old,
those ones.
They'll pick it up and fix it and try to sell it.
Right.
Yeah.
We had an old tube TV. that we replaced it, and it still worked. We just didn't really want an old tube TV around anymore. We had my daughter went to off to college, and we didn't really need another television. Yep. So Elaine made up a sign that said, "Free to a good home, still working, includes remote."
Uh-huh.
We got it to the porch, and a guy screeched to a halt, said, "Really, it still works?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'll take it." I said, "Then you get it off the porch."
Yep. We have found that a lot of the donation places, like, you know, Goodwill or VOA, won't accept tube TVs anymore.
Right.
They're literally a pain in the butt and the back.
Yeah.
And most people don't want them.
Well, it gets me, though. You know, I'll put old stuff out there. And if I'm outside, folks will go, "Does it still work?" I go, "It's out there.
Right.
It's garbage. You want it? Take it. Don't ask." You know,
the thing that makes me angry is people who crack open the old TVs right on the side of the road and just take out the transformers and leave the rest of it there.
Or you have everything neatly stacked.
Oh, yeah.
They come along, go through it, and then leave it. A mess.
Right.
And, you know, I've had one guy, because I had it in this recycling bin, pulled everything out and just left it. I go, "Really?
Yeah.
Do you mind putting it back?" You know,
People are jerks.
Inconsiderate. No, inconsiderate.
Yep. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Matt from Buffalo, New York. Hiya, Matt. What's up?
Hey, Nick. Good afternoon. I got a simple question for you guys about cell phones. I'm debating on making a new purchase, and I'm looking at two models, the Samsung Note 5 and the Samsung Galaxy S7 Edge, I believe it is. Can you maybe tell me the difference between them and... perhaps, you know, which one would be good for me?
Matt, if you will hold off until next month. Nick and I were just talking about this because
the S8 is coming.
No, I've been waiting for this to come out. The new Note 7 is coming out. Along.
So 5 to 7?
5 to 7. And it's going to have bigger battery. I mean, the specs on this new Note 7 are fantastic. And I'm just counting down the days.
Part of the annoyance.
You're more biased towards the Note than the regular S7, then, right?
Well, I've got the 5, and you know, I love it, but you know, I just want the little bit bigger screen.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. It's got the built-in pen. It's going to have a little bit bigger battery life, a better camera.
It's got a 5.7-inch screen, a 12-megapixel camera, 6 gig of RAM. Corning Gorilla Glass back panel, as a matter of fact. You can get either single SIM or dual SIM. It's a Super AMOLED display, so it's 16 million colors at 1440 by 2560 pixels, which ought to be enough for anybody.
Yeah.
It's got a Snapdragon processor. It's got Marshmallow, which theoretically will go up to Nougat shortly. You can put up to a 256 gigabyte micro SD card in it. So it's a pretty nice little thing.
It's got bells and whistles, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
It's got pretty much every bell and every whistle.
Yeah, it's got the bells and the whistles.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I think I'm going to take that advice then and just hold off and just wait for the release date then. I mean, because it seems like a way better option.
Yeah, it's due out the middle of August.
It will mean that what are now the current model phones will probably get cheaper.
Yep.
Because the new model will come out and drive the prices down.
So whether or not that's the one you're going to get or...
You can have it cheap or good. Pick one.
Right. And, of course, it comes in three colors. Black Sapphire, Silver Titan... or dark blue.
Ooh.
Yeah. Just not black, white, and blue. It's, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It looks, you know, a lot of people who have seen it's not out yet, but reviewers often get samples. They're loving it so far.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have they done a huge, exhaustive study of it? I doubt that yet. But what they've seen so far, they love. Yeah. And oh, by the way, if you're going to wait anyway, wait and see what they say. Go take a look at one in the stores.
Mm-hmm.
We'll know a lot more by the time it actually comes out, probably early fall.
All right, yeah, sounds good. I'll hit one of those retail stores and check it out. I had a Samsung S4 in the past, and I was very impressed with it.
Yep.
That's why I'm leaning more towards the Samsung brand. I think the quality of them is really great, you know.
Yeah, me too. I've got an S5. Dave has an S5 as well.
Yep.
They're very fine phones, and I've had zero trouble with it. I've also, over the last couple of weeks, my carpal tunnel is getting worse, and I've dropped it about 6 times. Nothing.
I got a funny story for you, Nick. I actually dropped mine in the toilet, and I grabbed it out of there within like 2 or 3 seconds. It worked flawlessly.
There you go.
Yep.
And they are water resistant.
Yeah, that's the new 7 they're
not
touting
water too. Waterproof.
Or they dip it in the fish tank, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I won't be doing that, but I mean, that's good to know. It's like built heavy duty, at least, you know?
Yeah, exactly. All right. Have fun.
All right. Black guys, for your help. I really appreciate the advice.
Absolutely. And whatever you get, let us know and tell us what you think.
Sounds great, man. You guys have a good afternoon now. Take care.
You too. Have fun. Yeah, I have to admit, my eyes are much bigger than my wallet when it comes to phones.
Oh, you and me both.
You know, I'm.
I gotta have the latest toy. That's my one.
Yeah.
Achilles heel, have you?
Yeah.
You know, I just like the new toys.
I love the toys. Yeah. I admit, I love
and
the toys.
And that's the one toy I like to keep up to.
Well, and you know, I use my phone all flipping day.
Same here.
All day long. It's really taken over. I mean, I'm retired. I could be sitting in front of my computer all day, and I'm not. But and so, you know, I got to look something up. I'm interested in a point. I'm curious about something. I'm looking it up on my phone. I'm looking, I'm doing things on my phone. And of course, Google makes that so easy. Same way Siri does. You know, just to, you know, Google. What about this? How about that? Tell me about whatever. And so, a lot of pretty cool stuff.
I heard something interesting on a podcast today about they were talking about innovation versus evolution, and the quote basically was that a lot of people think when they're near their desk they're working.
Yeah.
usually not. You know, was it one, you know, one step from cat videos?
Yeah, right.
So just because you're at work for 8 hours a day doesn't necessarily mean you're working 8 hours a day.
Right.
You know, trying to do with that proverbial 10,000 hours to get good at something.
Right. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. But, you know, I don't watch cat videos anymore because I have 2 kittens.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick... All right. Mine's 3D. It's very VR. We're going to take a quick break. So if you're on the phone, stay on the phone. If you're not on the phone, give us a call. It's Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, and you. 40 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member supported, Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Victor from Irondequoit, New York, on the line. Hiya, Victor. What's up?
Hi, guys. I got home a few minutes ago, and I just caught the tail end of your conversation about the smartphones. And my first smartphone, the only one I have right now, is I have the S7, and I love it. But my question is, I've got insurance on this, and mine and my wife's. I mean, is it really necessary to have the insurance?
It depends.
How often do you plan on breaking it?
Well,
see that's okay. Kind of the trick with insurance, is you buy it hoping you don't need it, and they buy it hoping you don't need it.
My daughter got the Apple Care on her iPhone.
Yeah.
And so far has had it replaced twice. She does a lot of traveling. She's a 24-year-old woman, so she's got her phone in her hand 24/7. You're in a crowded airport or whatever. Somebody bangs into you. You drop your phone. I don't know if iPhones are more prone to this than other phones, but I don't think the phone has ever left her hand without shattering. Like I said, I drop mine fairly regularly for a while. And nothing. There's nothing wrong with it. I popped the back off if the battery's flown out, but the
You that one time you drop it just exactly wrong,
right?
And then it shatters.
Right, right. Yeah. But she's got so far at least two brand new phones because she's got the insurance.
One of the things we see in the Apple world is that Apple Care plan is much cheaper than the carrier's insurance. So if you go to a carrier store, they'll want to sell you the carrier insurance. If you're going to get an iPhone, you're better off going to the Apple store or our store at Mac Ave and buying the Apple Care. It's cheaper to buy outright, and it's less for the incident fees if you do need to replace it under damage. What we typically see with the carrier insurance, it's like $10 a month per phone. And if you have a catastrophic, you know, failure of your phone, it's like $170 to replace, which is a lot cheaper than the $500, $600, $700, $800 it could be on some of these high-end mm-hmm. phones. But with AppleCare, it's $99 for the plan, so you're already less than $10 a month for your 2-year plan. And
is there a cheaper? Go ahead.
And the replacement costs are cheaper. So in the iPhone world, you're better off with AppleCare than you are with the carrier insurance.
What about the Android, like my S7? Is there someplace that can get cheaper insurance?
I haven't seen it. The first thing to do is check with your insurance agent.
Yeah, you might be able to put it on your own home insurance carrier.
I didn't know that.
There is also, there's a company.
Well, that's why I say check with them. Yeah. It depends a lot on the policy.
And the deductible.
And actually, you know, in general, for everybody, check your insurance policy because many of them don't cover electronics. So your TV, your stereo, your computer is not covered under general insurance. You may need to get a special electronics waiver. And in the electronics, you know, gadget world, there is a third party company called SquareTrade, where you can buy your own protection plans. So after your regular warranty expires, you can often buy your own protection plans. And I actually see a lot of companies that sell used computers will include the SquareTrade insurance on them.
Well, so I've seen that on Amazon.
Yeah. So they've got a thing where it's a 2-year insurance plan for $150. So I don't. So that's probably less than $10 a month you'd pay for your carrier insurance.
Right. Right. Well, I'm going to call my homeowner's insurance agent Monday morning and just see because I never even gave that a thought. Never gave it a thought, but it's possible.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Doesn't cost anything to ask.
Yeah.
Right. No, it doesn't. All right. Well, thank you guys.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Have fun.
Goodbye.
Yeah. It's extended warranties and insurance are always that catch-22 is you buy it with the sort of hope you're going to need it to justify buying it. And the company you buy it from hope you don't need it so they don't have to pay out.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of math involved, and they figured out how much they can charge so that they still make money off of it. For all the people that buy it and never use it versus the people that buy it and use it too much.
Well, that's the thing. But the phones, like Nick said, you know, it doesn't take much. Somebody bump into you. You know, you could be a very cautious person and everything else. You know, accidentally, you know, is whatever. It'll drop and crack. Once I had to replace one on my the screen on one of my phones.
Yep.
And it was $150. And it's like, yeah, no, from then on, I get the protection plan. I've got a good case now. This one case I've broken the case on this iPhone. I cracked the case because it fell, caught the case, broke it. Phone's fine. I wound up going and getting another case exactly like it. And I swear by these cases, if I, you know, get the Note 7, I will definitely want that case. Again, for the that style case for the 7 because it just protects it. It's a heavy duty. I don't know material.
There's
it
a
is,
couple of companies that great. Sell super rugged, heavy duty cases for phones. LifeProof is one of them. Griffin is another one.
OtterBox,
yeah. And so they give. Dave was looking to see what brand his is.
They give it
a lot of extra protection, but they make it thicker because you need the protection.
Well, this isn't that thick, but it's called INCIPIO.
Incipio. Yep.
And like I say, I swear by these.
Yeah,
I mean,
we carry all of those brands ourselves
in
our store.
And they're great.
Right.
So it's that trade-off between how much protection do you want. So Griffin makes a mil-spec model called the Survivor that's like half an inch of hardened rubber.
Right, right, right. Stop a bullet if you need to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
or you can get a thinner one that doesn't give it as much protection, but maybe enough for your use. So
let's say you buy.
So how what do they say? How aggressive do you play?
Right, exactly. Well, but here's the thing. Let's say you buy a phone from Sprint. From Sprint, you can buy the protection, $264 for 2 years. Square Trade, that's going to cost you $139.
Yeah.
For essentially the same, actually more protection, looking at the yes and no, because they'll also reimburse. Square Trade will reimburse for repairs at a local service shop.
Now, Square Trade is, just to interrupt there, for, that's a separate company.
That's a third-party company.
Third-party company. They've got over 1,200 reviews on Google, and they're 4.5 stars.
Most of the carrier insurance that I see use a company called Asurion. So, you know, you buy it at Verizon, it's, you know, the bill says
now,
Asurion.
Say I've, you know, upgrade one phone, you know, I've already got a plan. When you go to this, what is it called again?
Square Trade.
Square Trade. Can I add the other phone too, even though it's an older phone?
Yes, they don't care. By the way, with Square Trade, your insurance follows you from phone to phone, including upgrades.
And it also covers...
Now, you have to tell them. It's not like magic.
But oh, yeah. No.
It works.
Yeah.
You can also get it for computers and televisions and video games, even your home appliances. So they offer quite a... Now, this is not a paid endorsement. We don't know anything firsthand.
Right.
But I've heard good things, and they've got good reviews.
No, check it out. Well, like anything else, people, you know, they hear us talk about stuff, and just like I will, I'll do my homework and see if it's worth my while and everything else and whether they're going to cover...
Exactly.
You know,
and they do smartphones, as Steve said, probably every brand of smartphone, laptops, iPads, other tablets, appliances, televisions. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they do Chromebooks. That's a lovely question.
That could be grouped as a laptop.
Yeah. It could be, and that's, you know, we'll see. On the other hand, for $140, you're most of the way to a new Chromebook anyway.
Yeah.
So...
and you get a faster one.
May not, right. It may not be necessary for a Chromebook, but for pretty much everything else, yeah.
Because we tout, you know, how the Chromebooks, like you say, they're disposable. Something happens to it, oh, well, you don't have a lot of money invested in it like you used to back in the day with, you know, regular laptops that you used to pay $2,000 and $3,000 for.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I like some of the videos they have running on their webpage. One was a dog licking it. You know, drop it in the sink while you're doing the dishes. Spill your coffee on it. We see all the time.
Oh,
yeah.
Actually, we kind of joke. You know, our office is in the Victor Menden area, and so we get a lot of the, you know, more affluent customers coming in, and we don't see, you know, water spills as much, or, you know, maybe even beer. It's we see a lot of wine spills.
Well, you're down in wine country.
Yeah,
down around the Finger Lakes. Heck yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah. It's just like we tell folks, you know, as far as backing up and everything else, you know, it's individual's choice and how important it is. You know, if that phone drops and breaks, is it going to hurt you that you're all of a sudden you're going to have to shell out all this extra money, or is it worth it to get the insurance plan?
Right.
And if you're looking at a phone for your kid, you know, kids are
definitely would recommend it for families. Yeah, with kids. Oh. You know, they're like Nick says, you know, like his daughter, you know, on it all the time. They live with it. It's like an appendage.
Yep. In fact, most of the time that is their computer now. They don't have a separate computer.
That's exactly right.
They don't need it. They'll get a tablet.
Yeah.
Because so many places now offer tablets along when you upgrade to a phone. Oh, we'll throw this tablet in. Like when I went to the 5, I got this tablet and I think it cost me all of $20. It's a great little tablet. I love it. You know, I take it upstairs and use it for reading and that type of stuff as far as the books, because it's a nice, I can hold it in my hand and a great size, you know, and after a little time, you know, if I don't move the screen, it shuts itself down, it goes into sleep mode. So,
yeah,
it works.
Oh, here's something interesting. I think I'll post this too. It's a review of 4 different insurance carriers. And what they offer,
a
comparison of the different ones.
Oh, there you go.
Everything but Asurion, which is what the cell phone carriers use. So this is a review of third-party carriers. So there's one called protectyourbubble.com.
Nice.
Protectyourbubble.com.
I hadn't heard of them.
Okay.
protectyourbubble.com. So it's protection plans for phones and electronics. And So what, you know, why cars, rental car?
Yeah. I don't know what your bubble is, but
yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It's like, well.
Oh, I'm thinking of like bubble wrap is what I'm thinking. You know, the bubble wrap that you'd wrap around valuables and that type of stuff for folks that are moving.
Right, right, right.
So.
Or when the bubble bursts, when the stock market crashes, that's they call that a bursting bubble.
Right.
So yeah, when your bubble bursts, you want to be protected, I guess.
Like you said, though, using the phone so much, I mean, I've got the one app for work on my phone. And I'll get customers come in and they're looking for something. And, you know, it's like, I don't know. What are you talking about? So I'll, you know, go, okay, Google.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and or go in there. And it'll tell me right word, give me a picture of what they're talking about, because sometimes it's like they call it something totally different.
Right.
Than what it actually is. And it's like, oh, you mean this? All right, come on. I can take. But yeah, the phone just makes it so much easier and faster with the app. You know,
we've got
our own app for that. That, you know, folks can look stuff up and it'll tell them right in this particular store where to go. And what aisle and everything else. So it's fantastic.
And really what the phone has become is that sort of information device.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It does entertainment and you can apparently actually speak voice to voice with someone over one of these things, I've heard.
Yeah.
But what people mostly use them for nowadays is information. How do I get to? Where is? What's nearby?
Yep.
Oh, you know, we were talking about the Google Waze, you know, the Waze. I was also looking at the new Google Map.
Yeah.
And that's got turn-by-turn now.
Yep.
It's in beta, but it will do turn-to-turn.
I've had turn-by-turn on Google Maps forever.
They said there's a new beta. I was just playing around with it. It said a new beta version.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're doing with this new beta version, but I tried it out. And I liked it because you go down to a contact, and if it has their address into it, you select that. And it automatically maps the route out, and it even showed this alternate route and says, this might take 13 minutes longer. But
When I went to get the SATA cables, which, by the way, thank you very much. I was nowhere near my house, and I thought, okay. So I got my phone out. I said, you know, okay, Google. And then I said, navigate to Dave Enright's. And poof, up it came with the, you know, you are on the fastest route. You will reach your destination in 22 minutes.
Yep.
Really? Okay. All right. That music tells me you've wasted an hour of your life listening to us. Those of you who aren't at the Cornhill Festival have wasted an hour of your life. But you get to do it again because we're going to take a slightly longer break, but we will be back with a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe. We have Dave Enright, we have Steve Ray, we have me, Nick Francesco, and if you give us a call, we'll have you. 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415. We'll see you in a couple minutes with a whole nother hour of Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Why not? And welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Paul from Brighton, New York on the line. Hiya, Paul. What's up?
Good afternoon. Well, I've got an old iPhone 4. I inherited it from my son, who in turn bought it from some third party on eBay, I think. So what is it now? Is that a 4 or 5 year old phone at this point?
Probably, yeah. I'm looking it up now.
So I keep hearing that these phones have a limited lifetime, that sometimes the battery goes bad. And we've been using it fairly consistently for over 4 years now. Am I on borrowed time at this point? I mean, I realize that the operating system is old, and so it's not up to the standards of the latest phones, obviously. But it serves my purpose. It's slow, certainly, when I surf the Internet. But I don't use it that often for Internet. It's mostly, frankly, used as a phone.
Yeah.
Wow.
So... Am I, as I say, running on borrowed time as far as the battery life is concerned?
And the battery in any phone, basically, is usually the biggest replaceable item, the thing that you end up replacing the most, because you're using it, it does wear out.
Yeah.
So...
But I frequently go sometimes 3 days without having to recharge it. The life has actually been pretty good.
Yeah, and with cell phone batteries, there's usually two ratings. There's talk time and there's standby time.
Mm-hmm.
And so standby time might be a couple of days. Talk time might be 3 or 4 hours, so of continuous talk time. And so generally speaking with cell phones, the intent is you charge it every night, and so it's always charged up for the next day. But with older phones, the batteries are getting older. And the other half of the way batteries work are what's called the charge cycles. So how many times it's charged to discharged is based on the chemistry of the battery and how many cycles it can handle. So eventually the battery will start lasting shorter and shorter times, and then you end up deciding whether to replace the battery or replace the phone. And that phone itself, the iPhone 4, was introduced in June of 2010. So so you're looking at about 6 years.
Yeah.
Which is really good for an iPhone battery. Yeah, for any phone battery, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm the kind of person who takes a certain pleasure in making things last as long as possible.
Yeah, and it may have already had the battery replaced in it at one point.
Well, I doubt it. But certainly not while we owned it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been since at least late 2010. Maybe.
But you know what? Yeah. It's a law of averages, right?
Yeah.
It's like with hard drives. The average hard drive lasts 5 years. That means some of them die out of the box, some of them last 10 years.
Yeah, well, there again, I've had a lot of luck. I've had gone through quite a few number of computers and kept them a long, long time, and I've never, ever had a hard drive go bad on me.
Find some wood.
God bless you.
Yeah, find some wood to knock on.
Pretty regularly, yeah.
So maybe I'm just, you know, golden or something. But
Right. So, yes. Are you living on borrowed time? Absolutely. The day you first turned the phone on, you were living on borrowed time. Should you worry about it? No, it's not. It's generally not just going to automatically die.
Yeah.
You'll
It'll
have
give
to
you
charge
signs.
It more often. Battery will run down a little faster. And then you know it's time to start looking.
So when that happens, I guess I'll go on to eBay and buy an iPhone 5.
Wow.
And by then, we'll probably be on the 8s and 9s.
Yeah, right.
I like being 4 or 5 generations behind.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a great day.
Thanks, Paul.
Sure.
You too.
Yep. And that's the other problem with phones. It's a bigger issue in the Android world that the average Android phone is several versions behind in from the current operating system. But many times the old phones can't take the new operating system,
right?
Because it's more than their processor and memory allows, mm-hmm. especially in the really cheap Android market.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you got your $49 Android phone 10 years ago, and I want to put Nougat on it. Well, probably not.
Probably not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Of course, the other part of the problem is that, particularly with Android, when Google puts out a new version of Android, unless it's a Nexus phone, first it goes to the phone manufacturer. They have to put all their, the big dog mm-hmm. has to be the last one to pee on the tree.
Yeah.
So the phone company gets it. They put all their bloatware on it. Rather, the manufacturer gets it. They put all their bloatware on it. Then it goes to the phone company. They put all their bloatware on it. And then it comes to us as an update.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is many of the fixes that Google has put in are security fixes. And now the government is getting involved. The Federal Communications Commission is saying to the phone companies and to the carriers, why is it taking so long to update these devices?
Mm-hmm.
Because government employees use these phones. Military personnel use these phones.
Yep.
You know, now they're saying, we use these phones. We want faster updates. Mm-hmm. We don't care that you have to spend 6 months putting your bloatware on it and making sure it works. We don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Verify that the base fixes that Google put out work on your phone. Move along. And in terms of the carrier, of course, they don't have to add anything because it has nothing to do with them. They have to add one driver, right? And if that driver should take them about an hour, even if they have to update something. So we're really at the point now where the government is saying, enough with this nonsense.
Get off the stick.
Yeah. So
there's no need for it, and it's totally uncalled for.
Yeah, and they're in the middle of that investigation. There's nothing been done yet, but we're hoping that what they'll eventually, because one of the things that Apple has over any other phone manufacturer is that they make the hardware and the software, so that they really have very little to actually go through when you have an update or an upgrade or whatever. They can much more easily get it out there to the public, and that's a nice feature of iPhones. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. We're talking to Tay in Fairport. Hiya, Tay. What's up?
Well, good afternoon. I was listening earlier. Someone is abandoning Microsoft and moving to Apple because of the 10. Is that a good idea?
Depends on...
I've got an old computer with Windows 7 on it, and I have not upgraded anything at all, and want to know if I should just get out of it and skip 10 and go to Apple or not.
What do you use it for?
Not very much at all.
Then go to look at a Chromebook.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Windows 10 is very, very, very much like Windows 7.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The big difference is that when you open up the Start menu, it looks a little different, and it also has some of the tiles from Windows 8. But it is nowhere near the, what's the technical term, crap fest that Windows 8 was.
Ooh, I like that.
And yeah, that's a technical term. You might want to write that down.
I am.
Good.
I'm recording this as we speak.
Good. Okay, good. So it is much, much, much more like Windows 7. So learning the new operating system is not a difficult thing. And right now it's free. So my recommendation to everybody is give 10 a try. Mm-hmm. It costs you nothing, and you may find
it's... How do I get this? I have not got an icon on my computer saying update.
Well, that's a little weird.
I heard one of those this morning, too. We had a customer call. She's not been getting the Windows 10 upgrade notices.
I have it on mine.
Do you have updates turned off?
No.
Because there is one...
I believe so, because I'm getting regular updates, and, they install.
So Microsoft has been nagging people for a year to install Windows.
Well, you can just do just Google it, Windows 10 update, and you can go to CNET.com, and
I wouldn't do CNET anymore. They're bundling their downloads in wrappers now.
Well, there's a link to
Microsoft.
I did check that out just this morning. Somebody called, and that's the only reason I know CNET, because there is, over in the right hand corner, there's where you, like you say, there's a bundle, but right underneath it, there's one where you can just download straight Windows 10 and it'll start installing it.
We still have a link from a previous show, is still on our front page too for the direct Windows 10 upgrade.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Now, should I be saving anything in particular before I download?
Yes. Yes.
Everything.
Yes, everything. All your documents, all your pictures, anything that you want to make sure you have in case there's an accident. There are billions and billions of machines that have upgraded perfectly, but that upgrade rate is not 100%.
Yeah, there's percentage out there that, oops.
Right. So, I absolutely would say back up everything you want to keep.
Okay.
That's a good idea anyway. You should be doing that regularly. So, no, you don't have to do anything different.
But in the same token, though, if you want to have another computer and play around with it, like you said, if you don't do much on it, if you're out and about, take a look at a Chromebook. There's a number of stores out there that have them, and it's basically just a Chrome browser. It doesn't get spyware, doesn't get malware, doesn't get viruses, and there's no operating system to really have to update because it's just a browser.
Okay, I just use mine basically for playing games, surfing the web, I mean, just the games online, not joysticks or anything
well,
like that.
Well, check them out. Most of those games will work on a Chromebook.
Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah, but, you know, if you're playing them through a Chrome browser now, they'll work on the Chromebook.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're
welcome.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Yeah, bye-bye. We are telling people definitely.
We should, you know, we should hit Google up for the plugging that
doing
for Chromebooks.
No kidding.
At least give us each one just say, yes, we own one. You know, we're test driving it, the latest and greatest.
Right. But here is the deal. In terms of Windows 10, it is very, very much like Windows 7. The differences are minimal. There are obviously they've changed a couple of menu items, where things are, what they named them, but that's minimal. Like I say, that's like buying a new car. You still know how to drive, just the radio controls are in a different place. That's the difference. Once you get used to that, you're done. It's not at all like getting Windows 8.
Yeah.
Which was the difference between, you know, going from a car to
unbelievable.
And I don't even know what the analogy is.
Yeah, there's
a submarine.
And that's part of the problem now, that Windows 10 has a bad reputation because Windows 8 was so bad. And not necessarily bad, it was just so
It was bad.
It was different that no one knew how to use it. 8.1 fixed most of the problems of 8, but it was still, it looked so different, no one knew how to use it. Windows 10 is 95% the same look as Windows 7.
Because of the biggest thing was the learning curve.
Right.
You know, companies weren't going to pay their employees, send them out to school to learn Windows 8 because it was, you know, that operating system was designed perfectly for a tablet.
Right.
Not a desktop.
Right.
And it says Windows, so you don't need any new training because it's still Windows.
Yeah. Right.
No, that's wrong.
And in terms of Windows 10, the training, the differences are minimal.
Yeah.
And as I tell people, it's free. Go for it. If you don't like it, you're in the same exact place you were before you downloaded 10. You can still make the decision to buy a Mac machine or a Chromebook or whatever. All you've lost is a little bit of time and doing a little bit of experimentation. It really is not that big a deal.
And it's starting to get a little more big of a deal now because as of July 29th, it will no longer be free.
Right.
So if you wait until after the end of the month, you're going to have to pay $100 and some to get Windows 10. So a lot of us are saying, get it now if you think you might want to be getting it because you certainly don't want to pay another $100 for it.
Right.
Exactly.
And the question I'm wondering now, in fact, I'm downloading Windows 10 now, I'm trying to find the ISO to download. If I download it now while it's free, can I install it after it's not free?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows yet.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. Because one of the things it does is it goes out and verifies itself.
Yeah.
Yep.
So will that verification work after then? Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? All right, back to the phones. It's Vic again, back from Irondequoit. What's up, Vic?
You're right about Windows 10. I installed it on my desktop and my wife's laptop this week. And the only problem I had was on my desktop upstairs, I have a house like yours with the chicken wire in it.
Yep.
And I got like 90% loaded, and then it said Windows encountered a problem, and it's automatically set me back to Windows 7.
Yep.
So I did it again, same thing. So I'm just kind of figuring what could it be. So the only thing I could think of is maybe the connection's not good.
It might be that the connection's not good. It might be that the computer itself is not 100% compliant.
Well, what I did was I had a 50-foot Ethernet cable, and I connected it from the router to the computer. And I had no problem then. It downloaded nice.
Yeah.
It was great.
And one of the things that you may want to do, especially if you're upgrading more than one computer, is download the ISO. So then you have an installer as if it were a CD, and you don't have to download it separately on each computer.
Right.
Yeah. Well, my other question is, these wireless, I guess they're called extenders, I've read where you plug them in the wall and they have a couple of antennas and they extend your signal. Have you guys had any experience with any particular one?
Yeah, I have one from a company called Hawking. And they're all pretty much the same, so it's not, it doesn't matter which one you get.
Well, a lot of times it's best to get the same brand of router that you already have.
Right.
Because they tend to talk together the best.
Right. But basically what happened is, we get Wi-Fi in our house, great, but, in the backyard by the far side of the pond, my wife can't get her comedy channels on Pandora on her iPod. So I put this extender in the back window so that it really looks out over the pond and she can do whatever she wants in the backyard. They work great once they're set up.
I've got a Time Warner router, so all I got to do is look up what the name of Time Warner, the router that I have,
yep.
And then they, hopefully someone makes a...
An extender for it.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks, guys.
Yep, we got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, and you. 20 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, a member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Okay, that didn't quite fire the way we want to go.
All right. Are we back? Is that what this is about?
Ahead,
welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm David. This is Dan Gross.
There it is.
Some reason the machine is...
We're on a delay we didn't know about.
No, it's the screen. That's why I jumped before. It all of a sudden goes white, and it's the screen's saying, not responding.
It's excellent.
Oh, that's not good.
I just had that a minute ago with... Okay. Yep. Just happened to say, again with the... Google Hangout Cast.
If only we knew some technical people who could fix some of this stuff. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Greece, New York. Hiya, Steve. What's up?
Oh, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a annoying problem. How's that?
Yeah.
On my laptop, so basically off of my Wi-Fi, but on my laptop, I'm surfing fine, going here and there. And then suddenly, Wi-Fi disconnects. I click on it. Sometimes I just have to say disconnect, reconnect, Wi-Fi's back for another 10, 15 minutes, and it drops it again.
Okay, first, what operating system are you running?
I'm running 10. The troubleshooting thing says the default gateway is not available or is not running. Those things change.
What brand wireless router do you have, and how old is it?
Right.
I have an Asus, and it's less than a year.
You have an Asus wireless router?
Oh, router, I'm sorry. not router. Yes, it's an Asus router. It's I can get you the model number if you need it. But it's less than a year old. I bought it for its ability to go long distances in a single bound.
Is the message you're getting the wireless is down or the internet is down?
Well, it says there's no. Basically, it says there's no connection. If I go to the check my, there's no signal. It's not finding a signal.
Okay, so two things. Do you have anything that's directly hardwired?
No, not at the moment. I had it original set up. It was hooked to a desktop. I've had problems with the desktop, so that's off the system right now. It's just, so there's nothing hardwired to it.
Right. And do you have multiple wireless devices?
Yes.
And do they all go off simultaneously?
No, I'm the only one here, so there's only so many I can use at one time.
Right. Well, but my point is this. In terms of troubleshooting, the choices are one of two things. Either there's something wrong with your router or there's something wrong with your network connection. And the way to tell is if you've got something hardwired in and it goes out as well, then the problem is Time Warner or Frontier or whoever you have for your internet provider. And if it's only the wireless that goes out and you have multiple wireless devices connected and they all go out, then it's the router. If only one of them goes out, it's the computer. But that troubleshooting needs to be done before you start wandering around blindly doing stuff. So my suggestion is if you've got something that can be hardwired in, do that and leave it on. And because it sounds like it's happening regularly, when wireless goes out, check to see if wired is still working. If it is, then the problem is either the laptop itself or the router. And so the way you tell that is you have another wireless device, a tablet, a phone, something that's connected wirelessly. And when the signal goes out on the laptop, check that other device. If it also goes out, then the problem is definitely the router. If not, it's definitely the computer.
Okay.
But unfortunately, without doing that troubleshooting, I can't tell you what to fix.
Right, I understand.
Yeah.
And the fact that it, when I check my Wi-Fi connections, it just says disconnected, and if I just start it again, it works, doesn't narrow it down to something on my laptop?
No.
Because it still could be in the router, not sending out the signal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Yep.
And is there any way to determine if it's hardware or software?
Not without doing that troubleshooting.
Yeah, you got it.
You have to replace something and see where the problem moves or if it doesn't move.
Right.
So if you hardwire your computer to the router, then you'll know that the router, at least hardwire, is working.
Yep.
And as Nick said, with a different wireless device, if that keeps working, then the wireless in the router is okay, and it's the wireless in your computer that's bad.
Right.
If a new wireless device doesn't work, then it's the wireless in the router.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
a little homework to do.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm good at homework.
There you go.
All right, there you go.
All right. Thanks a lot. I hopefully won't be calling you next week with more questions.
Well, sure. If you have to, you have to. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep. Bye-bye.
And to give away one of the text tricks, that's how we troubleshoot. You try a different one. Replace something and try a different one. Replace something and try a different one. And in the shop, we generally have a whole bunch of different ones in order to figure out, you know, where your problem is lying. So it's not really magic. It's just, you know, if you think your hard drive is bad, we'll try a different one, and that will tell us whether it's the hard drive or the computer. So one thing to try on his laptop, if he doesn't have any other devices, is take your laptop to some other wireless network. So spend a day at a coffee shop, and if your wireless stays connected there, then it's your router. If the wireless disconnects while you're at the coffee shop, then it's your computer.
Right. Our next caller is James from Rochester, New York. Welcome, James. What's up?
I have Google Chrome browser and Internet Explorer. If I go, like, on a certain website or Twitter or something, how does it know which browser to use?
Whichever one you clicked on.
Right. Now, here's when you say you go on those websites, do you have...
No, if I have both browsers open...
Mm-hmm.
How could I get it, like, on the Twitter? It doesn't support the video on the Internet Explorer. How can I get that to go to the Google Chrome?
Well, you open it in Google Chrome. Instead of opening it in Internet Explorer, instead of typing, you know, twitter.com and Internet Explorer, you start up Google Chrome and then type twitter.com in that one.
Uh-huh.
And then once, of course, you've opened it up, you can save it as a bookmark, and once you've saved it as a bookmark, all you have to do is click on the bookmark to open it up each time.
And it automatically opens in that one.
Right. It's whichever one you actually started in.
Oh.
That's the one it opens it in.
Or in Chrome, you can sit there and under settings, because I open up both Chrome and Firefox.
Yep. Okay.
And both of them, I have them open multiple pages.
Yeah, that's what okay.
And within Chrome, you can sit there and just tell it to open up as many pages as you want, and you can set them up.
So you can have a Twitter page open and a Facebook page open.
And just switch to the tab that you want, and it is.
Okay, just like leave them up there.
Yeah, it'll leave them
up. Yeah, you can run multiple browsers simultaneously. It's not a problem.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, I do it all the time.
There is a concept called the default browser. So if you have no browser at all open, and say you're in your email and you click on a link, which you should never do because you don't know if it's a good one or bad one, you click on that link in email, it will open your default browser. So whatever you've set your computer to be, it will open that one.
And often you will find that when you start up a browser, it will say, oh, Chrome is not your default browser.
Do you want it to be? Yeah.
Right.
And I always say, yes.
Yeah, I want Chrome to be my default as well, but that's just me. Look.
And if he's having a problem playing video in Internet Explorer, He likely has an outdated version of Flash,
right,
which is vulnerable to attack, and you should update it immediately.
Or stop using Internet Explorer.
Stop using it and uninstall Flash from your computer.
That would be my advice to most folks.
Yeah.
Get away from IE.
Well, and Chrome has its own Flash built in, and it updates it by itself. So you don't have to update Flash yourself when you're using Chrome.
Right.
But you don't want to leave that vulnerable version of Flash installed in your computer, because some websites can take advantage of it, even if it's not running.
Right.
So you want to update it and keep it updated or uninstall it completely.
And our suggestion, of course, is uninstall it.
Yeah.
And use Chrome because that, you know, you can go to all those Flash websites without a problem. Internet Explorer is junk. Microsoft has admitted it's junk. That's why they brought out Edge. And so Internet Explorer is not going to get the updates that it's been getting. In addition, it uses Flash, which is known to be so full of holes, even Adobe has given up on it.
Yeah. Well, I totally removed it from my desktop, i.e., and off the menu bar. I mean, if I want to get it to it, you got to go digging into the Microsoft product. But I haven't used IE. I can't remember one.
Yep.
I just don't like it. One, you know, like you say, it's got more holes than Swiss cheese.
Yep.
And I've always... Foxfire.
Firefox.
Or
What's
Firefox.
Interesting is...
I don't know why I was...
Google... Okay. Microsoft had like 90% browser share.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day when it didn't much matter one way or the other which browser you used because there weren't so many viruses and things coming through the web. But as time has gone on and more stuff like that is coming through the browser, and as Flash has so many holes in it, people have stopped using Internet Explorer, and they're not moving to Edge, they're moving to Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Google, who used to hold 90% of the market, now holds like, Microsoft, who used to hold 90% of the market, now holds like 30. Google is 50%+ of the market in terms of browser share.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are in fact using, and now obviously on one of the nice things about Chrome is it is cross-browser.
Yep.
So, whereas Cross Microsoft platform. Only Edge and Internet Explorer only work on Windows machines, Chrome will work on Windows and Linux and Macs and phones and whatever you want to do.
And that's another way to tell how old an operating system people are running. IE 8 still has a 5% market share.
Yep.
And that was XP.
Yep.
So apparently that looks like most people have gotten off of IE 6.
Good to know.
Microsoft has been for
that was weighing
really
on my mind.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't sleeping at night worrying about that.
So what was that? Stop IE6 or how the Internet 6 Explorer countdown. Internet Explorer 6 countdown. God, I can't talk. So
new tongue.
Somewhere, so most of the world is less than 1% usage. China is still 5% and greater usage of Internet Explorer 6. Most of the reason is because China stole most of the OSs.
Right.
Remember that bit where there was some big sting Microsoft put out about, you know, some company was counterfeiting millions of boxes of Windows?
Yep.
And so the Chinese government went in and shut the company down and capped all the millions of boxes of Windows for themselves.
Yes, exactly. the big thing is that in terms of Internet Explorer, Microsoft has stopped updating the product. They've moved to Edge. So if you're still running Internet Explorer, you really need to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to stop. Now, whether you go to Edge or Safari or Chrome or Firefox or I don't really care, is less of an issue than getting off Internet Explorer. And if you're using Flash, again, you really need to stop. It is the number one vector for getting really ugly viruses into your computer. You need to just uninstall it. And I know that the problem, of course, is that there are lots of places where there are still Flash games that are out there. And if you're going to play those games, you have to use Flash. Well, you know, find a different game.
Or a different website that has that same game in HTML5.
Right.
And many of those websites using Flash are shifting to newer formats that don't have the vulnerabilities.
Yeah, with various updates.
I found a petition to save IE6.
For what? Do they want to save it for?
Because we're inundated with bloated web browsers that overcomplicate our lives. IE6 has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And then in the fine print, it says it's an April Fool's joke.
Yeah, I should hope so.
But 3,000 people have signed the petition to save IE6.
Mm, yeah.
Save IE6.com.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want a light, fast, I can't get there right now. Because of the proxy. Yeah. I'm not going to bother with it right now. I'm on the air. There's one called Midori, which is for Windows or Linux. I don't think it's available for the Mac. And it's lightweight and free. There's another one called Surf. It's from suckless.org. I think that's only for Linux, but Midori works on Windows as well, and therefore it would be a nice, simple, inexpensive, it's free, but lightweight and et cetera, we're going to take a quick break. Back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, you 39 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we've got Smiley on the line. Hiya, Smiley. What's up?
Hey, a browser I'm pretty sure that'll work on any operating system, which is fast, is Slimjet.
Slimjet. I haven't played with Slimjet.
They say they're the fastest browser.
They say they're the fastest.
It blocks ads and protects your privacy.
Nice. Good to know. This is the problem. There are so many of these things out there.
Oh, yeah.
You can't follow them all. And
we could spend a lifetime trying to track all this stuff down. You know, this and other programs.
It's got a YouTube video downloader built in. So you can download video and extract. So you don't have to get one of the crappy download converters that will then put an infection in your computer.
Right.
I think Cupzilla will too.
Yeah, I think so too. I use something called YouTube-DL, but again, that's on Linux, so it probably isn't going to work well on anything else.
Oops.
But yeah, that's great. Thanks, Slimjet. We'll put up a link to that. Thanks, Smiley.
Okay, bye. Yeah.
Bye.
Also for Windows and Linux.
There you go. Also for Linux, Mac, and Windows?
I don't see Mac. I just see Windows.
Oh, Windows and Linux.
Windows and Linux. See, that's part of the problem. It's the same thing Windows has, too, that IE and now Edge come with Windows. Safari comes with the Mac. So a company has to have a really big incentive to make a browser to overcome the one that you get free with your system.
And that's why, for so long, Internet Explorer was had
King
so much
roost,
market
yeah.
share. Yeah.
And that's why the third-party browsers, they're biggest, touting factor is how slim and fast they are.
Well, and then for so long, too, we heard folks constantly say, well, I was told I have to use IE. I can't use any other browser. They were being fed the Kool-Aid and drinking it and believing that. And we tell them, no, you could use this one or this one.
Well, a lot of places.
No, I was told I can't. I can't go get my email off. It's got to go to this one.
Right.
No, not anymore. That
a
might
lot
have been
a lot of places that provide support only support Internet Explorer because that's just what comes with so many machines, and they don't want to have to teach their people how to do multiple support things. Although, in fact, generally speaking, if somebody says, do you have Internet Explorer, and you say yes, everything they tell you to do will work in every other browser.
Yeah, there's no magic there.
Right.
You open up the browser. A browser is a browser.
Right.
It's just where you tell it to go and what you want to do on it.
Right. The big difference from browser to browser is the fonts.
Yeah.
There are fonts that people use under Windows that don't exist, that don't come standard under Linux.
So there are a list of what's called web-safe fonts that the World Wide Web Consortium has defined. And so
that work on every browser.
That work on every browser on every platform.
Or you do something like Google Fonts,
mm-hmm.
which downloads that font every time you go to the page, takes another half a second.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then you can use pretty much any, they have 800 and some plus fonts last time I looked.
Yeah. So if you're designing a web page, don't use that fancy font you like so much because the other end won't see it that way.
Or download it from, you know, and it depends again now on your browser.
Yeah.
Certainly Safari and Chrome and, of course, Chrome, it's from Google, and and so are the fonts. And Internet Explorer and Edge will all render those fine.
Mm-hmm.
But again, maybe SlimJet won't or Midori won't or whatever.
That's why so many websites are written in Arial or Times.
Right.
Because they know that'll come with the other end, the browser, and that computer will have it.
Right. But there's only a few web-safe fonts. But again, there's 800 plus at Google's web docs and web fonts site. And they give you explicit instructions on how to put them in your web page. So it's very easy to do.
Google.com/fonts.
Yeah, Google.com/fonts. Not that hard to do. 800, how many are there? Oh, 790?
779 families.
Right, families.
Within the families,
Each family will have, like, you know,
bold and italics. Right. And
so for your font purists, that counts as four fonts. Regular, bold, italic.
Right, those are four fonts in a font family. Named Garamond or whatever it happens to be named. Right.
And grotesque is a style, not a font, but somebody named their font grotesque.
Yes, exactly.
I like Century Schoolbook.
It's a nice one. It's clean. It's easy to read. Yeah, absolutely.
Comic Sans.
No. 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 I will slap your knuckles.
Please do.
But unless you're writing a comic book site.
Yeah.
Then no.
Google has several comic book
fonts. Yeah. The basic idea here is people want their websites to look unique. And they want their websites.
Like everybody else.
Yeah. There's supposed to be a way to embed Google Fonts in Google Docs. But I haven't looked into it because I've been happy with just whatever comes. But theoretically, you can do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is you now have all, you know, those 780.
Okay, so google.com/fonts has 779. Fonts.google.com has 804.
Okay, good to know. Then go to fonts.google.com is really where you want to be.
Yeah.
But how many fonts can you really use?
Oh, talk to a real designer, people who design documents and websites for a living, and they will tell you there aren't enough because you're not going to use more than two on a site, but you have to pick the exact correct two.
Yeah, but some of them. Oh, let's put it this way. Let me think of a good term. Suck.
Yes, and I agree with you.
And every company has their corporate font that you need to use for their work. And so we say that a lot with our design customers is that, you know, Xerox has a font, Kodak has a font. Every company you work with has their own corporate font, and you have to use their font for their stuff. It's part of their corporate branding. You know, it's kind of like their name. You know, they defend their name like they defend their font.
Right. Right. And so those you hire a font company, you hire a font designer to create.
Yep.
And one of the things you should be paying them to do is to create a TTF version of that for TrueType fonts or a web-based font version of that sort of thing. Or I suppose you could resurrect Herman Zaff.
Well, he died last year.
Yeah. And have him do it. Yeah. He was old. He was an old man.
Old, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Back to the phones. Our next caller. No, our return caller is Smiley, once again.
Hey, I forgot to mention to you.
Yeah.
There's a real small desktop computer that you can buy. It's called Chimpbox.
Chimpbox.
Chimpbox. Somebody trying to get into Linux, it don't cost them that much money, and works pretty good.
Chimpbox.us.
At Chimpbox.us, quad-core computer. Nice. Thanks, Smiley. Smiley's got all the good stuff.
Guys. Bye.
Have fun. Yep. That looks like a fun toy. What kind of price are we looking at? There is no price. There you go.
$325 with an AMD or $355 with an Intel.
Oh, nice. Quad core?
Yeah, quad core.
How much RAM?
It's got two slots.
Okay, it doesn't tell me anything.
8 gigs of RAM.
Oh, nice.
Wireless N.
That's not bad. That's not a bad set of specs, actually. Yeah. 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 Anyway, to get back to fonts, it doesn't matter how many fonts you have.
Right.
If you can't find the exact font that looks best on that site,
then
the designer is angry. You know? So having 800 fonts available to you is great. And I know web designers and font designers who will look and document designers who will look through all 800 fonts to find exactly the font.
You know what? Sometimes I wonder if they just create their own problems.
Well, no, it's the artistic eye.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess.
It's not something that you or I may have a feel for, but somebody does. And if you're concerned about that sort of thing, then, yeah, absolutely, you want to get that exact right font.
And if you're really geeky in the fonts, you probably already have this book, but if not, you might want to buy it. Stop Stealing Sheep and Find Out How Type Works. It looks like, I'm not sure if it's still in print anymore, and there's been several versions of it.
Nice.
But, yeah, that's sort of the how-to guide and designers and how things work in dealing with
one
fonts.
Thing that's always bothered me is that everybody uses sans serif fonts now because they're supposed to look more modern and everything else. The reality is serifed fonts give you more hints, give more hints to the eye, so it's easier to read a serif font and you can read them faster. And it used to be that you wanted sans serif fonts for the web because, frankly, screens were crap.
Yeah.
But now screens are so good that serif fonts look great on screens and should be used on screens as well as on paper documents.
Right. It was always serif for body type and sans serif for headlines.
Exactly. That's the way it should work, and too dang bad if you don't like it. That's the way it should be. of course, I'm not a font designer. And so, you know, you go to RIT, they still have the School of Design there and the School of Printing there, and they'll probably tell you more about, you know, spacing and kerning and all the other stuff and how, you know, all of that stuff. But that's part of it as well. You know, how is it kerned? How, you know, the spacing between letters,